That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today. And we will leave you with a... I can't do it. We'll do it live.
Okay.
No. We'll do it live! Fuck it! Do it live! I'll write it, and we'll do it live! And thing sucks! That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today. I'm Bill O'Reilly. Thanks again for watching. We'll leave you with Sting and a cut off his new album. Take it away.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to another week of Muskies on Tap. I'm your host, Gus Manti. We got all three of the Mott crew on here tonight. Let's introduce the others. Before we get started on the interview that we're going to be bringing to you, so let's start it off with Max. How are you doing tonight, Max?
Good. Feeling very energized coming off a great Minnesota Muskie Expo. No, we haven't done this in a while, but tonight I am sipping on the Liftbridge Farm Girl that you picked up while you were staying here with me, Gus. Got to say, great selection by you. Big fan. Thanks for leaving a few of those with me, so they should help me get through this late night pod here tonight. Nice to see our the shining face of our friend Brian Eckel back with us here after a week off. Brian, you feeling refreshed, ready to go here this evening?
I am. I cannot wait to get after it tonight with you guys. I'm not actually sipping on a beer tonight. Didn't even have one this weekend. Stuck to the same old whiskey 7, vodka Red Bull. You know how I roll. Looking forward to hearing from you guys from your Minnesota Muskie Expo adventures. What was the big storyline from that,
Gus? What would you say is the big storyline? I mean, it was fun meeting a bunch of people we've, you know, DM'd with and stuff, you know, met guys meet online, we've talked about that, but good to see them in person. You know, shout out Kyle Freges and the 54 bus crew. Got to hang out with Brian Schaefer a bit. Got to meet my first time ever meeting Mike Keys, which was a hoot. Really fun talking with him. Got to shoot the shit with Brad Hoppy. So that was a lot of fun. Met the boys from Muskie Addicts. Met the guys from NetBuddy, BNN. It was just a whole hodgepodge of you know, musky anglers there. I don't know if hopefully I'm not leaving anybody out. We got to chat with a bunch of people. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I don't even know if you really left too many people out. We'll touch on it more in the outro, maybe on some bait cops and a little more finer details than that. We don't want to keep you too long before the interview here, but yeah, I mean, Max hit it on the head. We saw a lot of crews out there, you know, putting some, you know, names to faces, you know, meeting people that we were just talking online beforehand, but now finally getting to meet them in person is pretty awesome. And of course, working the Team Rhino booth, got to do a shout out to Jeff Woodman, his family. Noah Binsfield was also there from Get the Net Guide Service, if I'm not mistaken, over in Minnesota. He was hanging out at the booth Friday and Saturday. So that was a lot of fun, and yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed that show. That was my first time at the Minnesota Muskie Expo, so I think it's time that we just go right into the interview, and then maybe chit-chat later on some more stuff.
Sounds good. Fire it up.
All right, here on the line tonight, we have none other than Nick Amrose with Hammer Custom Lures. He's going to be at the Wisconsin Muskie Expo in Wausau this coming weekend, March 15th to the 17th. He's going to be in the booth with the other guest that is currently not on at the moment. He's having some Wi-Fi troubles. We just got word that he's on with his provider as we speak, so he might join on miscellaneously through this recording. But anyways, Nick, how are you doing tonight?
Not too shabby. And your guys' selves?
Pretty darn good.
Doing good. Is this is it true that you're making your debut with Hammer Customs here at the Wausau Show this coming weekend?
For a show, yes.
Nice.
I've
Yeah, I
sold them out of
guess
a few bait shops before.
that's right. Yeah, we've run your stuff before, so I'm excited to get into this one. And this is also you're a recurring guest now. You've been on. This is your second time.
Oh, yeah.
Last time you're on with Clayton, recapping your guys' third place finish at the PMTT World Championship at the Chippewa Flowage. So yeah, nice to have you back on here tonight. So
Oh,
what what's the feeling like here leading up to the Wausau Show? Sounds like you've just been slaving away in the bait cave.
yeah, for the most part, yeah, I've just been trying to get as much done as I can. So, yeah, a lot of late nights.
Yes, that's what
Yeah.
we've seen from some of the Snapchats that you've been sending of the baits and some of your progress with the colors. So I know you've been sending them to Max and I, and we've been getting super pumped. You got a couple new colors coming out here, and we can either get into that now or maybe go into the beginning of Hammer Customs, way back to how it all started. Let's start with that. I think that might be a better starting point. So, when did that come about, or when did that interest spark where you wanted to make your own musky baits?
Truthfully, it actually sparked when I was just a kid. I remember there's one time that when I was pretty young, I used to always take my bike and go to a pond and go fishing. But I took a clothespin and I tried making a lure out of that.
Did it work?
I had a fish hit it, but when you tried using a staple to put a hook in, they just kind of pulled the staple
It was a big fish then. All
out.
trial and error.
I'm hoping that the Hammer Customs have come a little bit since then.
Yes.
Using a staple gun now.
I've always had somewhat of an interest in it. Like my dad used to make giant fishing lures for craft shows, so it kind of takes place like that too. But how I got back into it again, I was making bucktails or tying musky flies, and I want to say it was like the year after COVID, so it's been about 4 years ago now. I decided just to out of nowhere just buy an airbrush, grab a belt sander, and all that, and start going with it.
Nice. And then you just kind of start free flowing and finding your own style, I guess you could say. Because I know
Yeah.
everyone's handmade crankbaits, they look a little different, you know?
Yeah, like you kind of find your own style, but that also comes from like kind of when you make bucktails, you want something a little bit different. You want it the way you want it. That's kind of how I did my glide baits because I made them a little bit heavier because I always hated waiting with it.
So, when you started, like your first prototype, second prototype, was it all just trial and error? You were bringing it straight to the water to figure it out if it would work, or did you use a lot of like YouTube videos to get some ideas and make sure you're doing it right from the start?
I used a lot of YouTube videos, but I also, it was a lot of trial and error. Even when I started making the crankbaits, I got to the point where I was trying to cut them on the bandsaw. And when you went to cut the lip slot, if it, you had everything square, but if that blade catches a little bit, it's going to get cut crooked. So I think probably like 1 out of 10 baits worked at the time. And
Oh
then I kind
man.
of figured out a better way of cutting the lips. But I learned my lesson too because I would get the bait all the way done, didn't test it, and painted it right away. So
Oh
then you're kind
no.
of a lot of time gone, but it's a lot of trial and error, but it's a lot of fun though too.
So what's the full array of baits that you're making now?
What I'm gonna have for sale is I have a smaller crankbait. I have a larger crankbait, which I believe you and Gus have. I have a dive and rise bait. And then I made some kind of like a Jake style bait, kind of, in three different sizes than that.
Nice.
And a glide bait.
How long are
Nice.
the cranks? You said you have a small and a large. Is that like 6 inches and
I think the smaller one is like I think it's a little bit shorter than like a 22 long.
okay.
And the larger one, I don't really know off the top of my head on those.
I think it's like around 8 if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I
Does
would
that
say it
sound right?
is.
It's not much bigger if it's any more than 8, 8.5 inches. And the small one, are you keeping the names that you have done, like the jackhammer or
Yep,
no?
the jackhammer is a larger crankbait. The chain hammer is a smaller one. That would be the first crankbait actually I made because I kind of got into trolling, and I'm like, I'm gonna hammer him on the chain on this bait.
Yep.
Well, that's all I
It's
got to say.
perfect. The perfect chain size. It's just a little snack. And was that chain hammer crankbait that size the first ever bait that you made, or was maybe like a glider or diving rise the first ever, or was it crankbait?
I think that crankbait would have been like, well, I see. I also, when I first started doing it, I made some like grandma style baits and stuff, but that's when I learned my lesson with painting and testing the baits.
Yeah.
But the chain hammer, that was when I first really took the huge leap into kind of doing it and then trying to develop more stuff with it. Because I remember I was going one night, I was going to bingo, meet up with Clayton at Braywood.
Nice.
And I actually just got done painting it that night, and I brought it. Actually, I carved it and I brought it with me. I'm like, dude, check this out.
So one of the first things that I saw with your baits was these incredible paint jobs you were doing. And I mean, hopefully this doesn't come off in the wrong way. I just was a little bit taken back about how good they were. I didn't know you were such an artist. I
I
was,
saw
when
some of
you,
his early ones.
yeah, but when Gus told me that you made baits, I was just kind of like, oh, cool. That's a fun side hobby. And then when he actually brought one back, I was like, holy shit, like this is insanely detailed and like crazy good. And then as you've kind of started to, send us videos and whatnot of all the ones you've done leading up to the Wausau show, like these are extremely intricate paint jobs. So I guess the question is, like, did you ever have like an art background of any sorts, or what, like, how did you get, I guess, so good at these paint jobs that you have?
Funny thing is, I actually failed art in high school.
Shocking.
I don't know. Like, I've always been somewhat artistic, like, be able to draw stuff, do stuff like that. But I'm like a hands-on person. But for some reason, I can see colors that shouldn't match or how you can get the fading with it. And it just kind of comes with it. But like Gus said, he's seen some of my early ones, and they're stuff you just hide.
The muskies will
But I
still
keep
eat
them
them, but
because.
you know.
I keep them because I can see like each year like how much better I've gotten. And
Sure.
it's I don't know, it's just something that kind of I say maybe it kind of came natural, but there was also a lot of trial and error with it. And then once again, YouTube is a huge help. Because I've
I'm
watched a
sure,
few of those
like,
types of videos.
yeah. Did those like kind of help maybe help you figure out how to make like a very detailed fin or like
Yep.
scaling? Because I know you have a lot of that going on and really good layering with your baits, I've noticed. Really done well.
Yeah, it's that was definitely helped with the whole like the fins, the scaling, and all that kind of stuff. Like it just kind
So,
of gave you a general idea, even with the like a stencil, like how to paint with it.
did you base your crankbaits off of like any other baits? You said like you kind of wanted to be a little different. Was there a certain crankbait that I guess you were kind of trying to emulate in a way? And it just kind of varied off of that a little bit, or was it just kind of your own blank that you started with?
It was kind of like I knew what I wanted. Like, you got your slammers, and then you have obviously your 22s. But I wanted something a little bit different once again. And then I just kind of freehand drew it. And I'm like, oh, I like that design. I like the shape and the profile. I'm gonna go with it.
So, like specifically though, what about your shape and profile did you like?
I liked more of like the minnow style bait.
Okay.
It's kind of a minnow, but it's got a like more of a belly to it too.
Yeah, that's the first thing I noticed about the one you gave to Gus was it's like a little bit wider and kind of like feels a little bit more built out than some of the other, crankbaits we've had.
And I wanted to keep it thicker because I like that whole how you push the water because it really gets it all that. And once again, I just, like I said, I freehand drew that and I'm like, oh, that looks cool. Let's try it.
Yeah, I really like it. It's kind of got like that rounded look to it as well. And it makes it look very natural, and the lip in front of your chain hammer and jack hammer is definitely more unique than I've. It's not just like a normal typical square bill. It's not like a typical deep diver. It's kind of almost like an in between, mid range. I don't know if that's a
Yeah.
good way of putting it.
And actually, I made some last year and I wanted to do them this year too. And I made a few more. So on the chain hammer, I actually have a shorter lip in it.
Oh,
So
okay.
I could somewhat run more line out or whatever, keep it away from the boat, but not get as deep too.
Makes sense. So, well, and we know a lot of these stories, but let's give the people some context here. So take us back and kind of give us a start on, I guess what got you into musky fishing and all that good stuff, because now you're obviously a pretty seasoned tournament angler. You and Clayton have been partners for a good bit here and have done extremely well in the PMTT. You've lit it up in leagues locally up in Eagle River. So I guess what was the progression, from when you started and kind of worked to where you are at now?
Well, when I was younger, obviously, I'm actually from about 45 minutes south of Madison originally. So down there, you had rivers, but you didn't have many muskie lakes, really. I mean, Madison Chain's awesome, but we didn't go there. But me and my dad, we've been coming up here since I was a kid, and my dad's always muskie fished. And I guess I just kind of took into it with him. And then I think it was on, it's either little or big arm. I want to say it was little arm. He actually let me cast my first muskie rod for the first time. I had to be like nine, but yeah, I gotta remember all this. Oh, and then finally, I always wanted to fish this tournament with him, the National Open.
Oh, sure.
I might have been 12 at the time, but he just wasn't sure if I could actually do the whole tournament. Well, his partner bailed out on him, like kind of short notice. So I went and fished with him, and I was excited about it. Think it was the yeah, it was a Saturday morning then. I still haven't caught a muskie yet. Right away in the morning, my Su-Hic hit the water and I got drilled. It was a 29 incher.
Oh,
And I am just jacked.
hooked.
It's my first muskie ever.
That's awesome.
10 minutes later, we keep working on the shoreline and I hooked into a 49 and a half.
Oh my God. Did you feed the
So
29 incher to
yeah,
it?
so that is where my addiction started. It truly did. That's where I've always fished, but like that's where it just took hold in a new place for me.
Did you guys land that fish?
Yeah.
And so did you, I mean, you had to have won, like, was that big
I
fish that
won.
year
That
and
was big fish.
everything?
I won the youth. Yeah. So I got a replica of it.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's sweet.
And
That's
I still have not gotten
unbelievable.
one bigger.
I'll have to go back and check the results on where you ended up catching that fish.
I
In
know where it was
Banana Lake.
caught. Nick told me. We know about that fish.
That's hilarious. All right.
Yeah,
Well,
and then it
yeah.
just took off from there, and I just continued to musky fish. And then when I moved up here, I used to come up here, then I worked at a campground up here for 3 summers too.
Okay.
So I really learned how to fish without depth finders, a trolling motor. All I had was a 6-horse and a 14-foot aluminum boat. And you learn how to wind drift, and I learned that lake very well. You drop an
So,
anchor down, and you'd be like, oh, that feels like a rock bar.
yeah.
Then I think I moved up here around probably 2015. And
Okay.
then it was weird being able to go fishing every day.
It's pretty
It's a
awesome,
dream.
huh?
Yeah, I love it.
Well, now you're a bait builder, so you're never gonna see the water ever again.
No,
Yeah.
that's company policy. We don't build in the summer.
Oh, I like that. Tell the boss that he's doing a good job, doing the right things.
No, I try not to build in the summer. I try to do it all in the winter because it's a hobby. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So what was the first fish you caught on one of your baits?
It would have been one out of the Eagle River chain. On
Nice. On the chain hammer.
the chain hammer.
Nice.
Nice.
Trolling.
Trolling, yep.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah, I know you, and I know there's a couple of other guys locally that use that chain hammer on the chain, other places, that have put a ton of fish in the boat. It's our buddy Ryan, I believe. He's got one of yours that has, how many was it to that one bait in just recent years or last year or something? Uh-oh. Hold on, Nick. You're glitching out. All right, I don't know how I'm gonna rope this in here. I might even just start it right here, but Nick's internet must have just taken a shit, and Kyle's is back on, and Kyle is now on the call here. So we got Kyle Hunsader himself with Huntsy Tales. So Kyle, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good now that I got everything figured out here.
I love that
That's
hoodie, Title
good.
Town Muskies.
Yeah, that's our local chapter here. I'm actually president of Titletown. I've been I think this is my fourth year going on president.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
So
And then how long have you been making the Huntsy Tales?
I had to look it back at some pictures to try and figure out the kind of the timeline. Basically, I think I started making bucktails in like 2020. Obviously, COVID hit and everyone was bored and trapped in their house. And then the banger, the one that's been the best, was out 2021. I started making that,
Nice.
and that's the one
And
that's got the blade on the back with the pin that actually hits it and makes noise and flash and everything else.
yeah, that's a really unique one. I've seen a lot of ticker blades. You got the Kramer, the wood tick or whatnot, the Revolution, and but this is in the back, like a rear blade that you have going on. And I
Correct.
got my hands on one last year in September, I want to say, at one of our league banquets, and the first outing with it, it lost a fish and raised a fish. I was like, okay, this could be something. And this happened to me with a bunch of different blades. Is like all of a sudden I'm like, oh, these could be red hot. And then boom, turnover is happening, we're going deeper and sucker fishing. But I'm excited
Sure.
to use them.
Yeah.
So you said 2020 about when it started. What was were you making bucktails before that, or was like right when you were making this banger bucktail? Is that like one of the first?
So I like 2020, I kind of toyed around with just making bucktails, right? Like making like different offset blades and stuff like that. And then 21, we actually had Luke Ronestrand come in and speak at one of our Titletown meetings. And he was talking about he did a whole presentation just on bait mods, like adding blades to stuff and like all kinds of stuff. And it just got the gears turning. Actually, one of my buddy Kurt, he kind of suggested, he said, "What about a blade in the back that makes noise?" And it's like, I think I could do something like that. And started kind of just throwing a blade back there and a pin with it as well. And that first year we so that there was no hook attached to it. So I kind of started off with like basically like lighter wire leaders, basically just like walleye or pike leaders. But that blade actually spins a lot in the back. And we broke so many willow blades off. Like the bay is full of willow blades right now because we broke so many off. So like I started out with really light wire because I wanted a flexible wire in the back so that way if a fish hits it that it could move out of the way. And then I think I went up to like 60-pound 49 strand wire. And then now actually how I make them, and then we still broke some. So then now I actually make them with like 90-pound wire and like 180-pound swivel on there. So
Nice. Yeah, I did
there was
notice that. It's beefed up.
and we had to because we were actually breaking a lot of them, so it's for good reason.
So
That's
were
good.
you testing these blades out on the bay? Was that kind of their debut where they got to fish them out on Green Bay?
Pretty much. So I kind of looked back at some pictures, and so my buddy Phil Stadola guides out on the bay, and he had a couple of just the regular bucktails I was making, and a guy was with him, and Kevin got a hold of me and said, "Hey, I'd like to buy some of your blades." And I said, "Well, I'm just starting to make these bangers. If you want some of these," and he goes, "Sure." We were up on Three Lakes actually for the weekend for our summer outing. And
Nice.
Kevin sends me a text and says, "Hey, I used your bucktail for 2 hours and I already caught one." It's like, okay,
That's awesome.
interesting.
Pretty sweet.
We got back that weekend and we actually went like open water trolling. We found a bunch of bait out in open water, so we wanted to do that. And we actually caught a 53 on one doing that.
Jesus.
So That was really obviously Kevin's fish. It's like, okay, we got something here. And then we caught the 53 and we're like, okay, we got something. And then it kind of snowballed from there. I started making them for a few buddies, and most of the fish that first year was Green Bay.
Right. Awesome. Yeah. I'll go ahead, Brad.
Is that little guy on the wall behind you? Was that caught on your bait?
No, this one was about 11 years ago. This was before I was making.
What's the size on that thing?
That's 54 and a half.
Nice.
So let's talk about the bay a little bit, because I'm pretty pumped up to chat with you here about this, because it's, you know, it's funny, like Gus, Brian, and I, we all grew up in Appleton, actually. And, okay. You know, we all learned how to musky fish in Eagle River, and that's just kind of where we've continued our journey, you know, and we've never really done much out on Green Bay. I mean, Gus and Brian can tell you about their one-time experience out there. But, you know, I'm just kind of curious as to, like, were you fishing it during kind of the heyday of it? And is that still going on in some capacity? I mean, what's the state of the bay right now kind of compared to when you started fishing it?
So I started fishing in about 2011, 2012. I think the heyday was probably about 5 years before that. I hear stories from guys that would make a lap in the Fox River trolling and they would have 8 muskies. So it's not at that anymore. I guess not that extreme, but I'd say we're in a really good spot right now. Okay. Obviously me being with Titletown, we do a lot of work with stocking and everything else with the DNR, but I guess hearing of big fish the last probably 2 years, I've probably heard of more 55, 56s than ever before. So, we're definitely in a good spot where there's a lot of big fish coming up.
Yeah. I mean, our friend Jeff Vandermortel stuck a few huge fish.
Sure.
This last year, we saw some pictures circulating from down there. So it seems like you guys have done a really good job at getting it into a, you know, a good place. And I mean, is that hard for you then to, like, you know, not to put a wet blanket at all on your neck of the woods up there, your guiding, Gus, but, you know, doing trips up to like a Three Lakes after fishing in Green Bay, and, you know, the expectations kind of change a little bit from what you're hunting.
Yeah, I mean, I still like the up north stuff. That's always fun to get away. And obviously, it's a different style of fishing, too. It's like one thing I miss, not that you can't catch them on top water, but one thing I just love about up north is early morning or late evening top water. And that's kind of not, I mean, some guys do it on the bay, but it's definitely not a well-practiced way to fish them.
Sure. So, like, what is a typical plan of attack then when you're heading out on the bay? I mean, I'm sure it's pretty seasonal, but, you know, kind of take us through that a little bit.
So, like, early season, obviously, they're kind of the spawn or the pole spawn. They're in a lot of the tributaries. I mean, there's a handful of rivers that feed into Green Bay. June is actually a month where typically, so when we caught that 53, it was, like, open water. June is typically a month where everybody takes off. Nobody knows where they go after the spawn. So everyone kind of takes off that month. And then even actually July. So it's actually later July, early August when the fish start moving back up on like the weedy reefs, like chasing like the perch and the walleye that come up. And that's when guys really start casting them. There's not a lot of spots. There's obviously, I'm sure you've heard enough about Green Bay. There's a lot of community spots, but there's definitely spots. If you can find weeds a little bit away from the pack, you can definitely capitalize on some fish too. But so yeah, kind of August, little bit into September is like the casting bite on the reefs. And then kind of after that, they start chasing shad a little bit around. So then kind of guys switch to trolling and kind of cover more water, some more open water. And then they kind of end up back in the tributaries after that.
Yeah. I didn't realize people switched to trolling because they're chasing shad.
Yep.
Which is why they're running faster. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's still a handful of guys that'll still troll them during that casting bite, just kind of cover the outside of the weeds. But definitely the majority of the people switch in that late September, October area.
Okay. And does the, I mean, I don't like Max was saying, Brian and I have just been on the bay that one time, and I was on the bay one other time for muskies, and then I've walleye trolled it with my uncle in May twice. But does the bay turn over at all?
I don't think so.
Okay, yeah, because I had no idea if it did or not, because I don't hear very many people fishing it in like October. Does it still get hammered in October pretty good?
Yeah, October's actually can be a pretty good trolling bite. Everything's pretty concentrated in the lower bay at that point too, so you really don't got to run too far in October.
Do you notice the fish like migrating or moving into the Fox River and out of the Fox River year round, or are there fish that just stay in the river, you think? Or
yeah, so there's definitely some resident fish that'll stay in like the even. Maybe not the river so much, because the river does get warm in the summer, but in the lower bay, the UW Stevens Point did a telemetry project down here, probably about 2018 to 2021. And they had so they basically had radio tags on these fish, and then they could see kind of where they were traveling. They were trying to figure out where they were spawning, because we've basically next to nothing for natural reproduction on the bay. So they're trying to figure that out. But there was one fish that stayed in like University Bay, which is the lower bay, stayed there all year long. But yet there was one fish that ran like 50 miles up on the bay and then came all the way back down. So I think there's definitely a big difference. I mean, every fish has a mind of their own. So
you talked about limited natural reproduction. How have you guys at Titletown Muskies done such a good, you know, job and efforts to restock the fishery?
I guess we just work close with the DNR, and I think it's part of the DNR's plan as well to keep it stocked. Basically they were reintroduced back in 1989. They were almost extinct. And actually the club members back then wanted to reintroduce them. So, but yeah, we just work. I mean, we work with the DNR. We've really pushed for stocking yearlings as well instead of fingerlings. Yearlings have a much higher survival rate. Obviously everything costs money, but we just always work close with them and just try and keep it stocked.
Gotcha. So you think, you know, maybe those heyday stories are a little bit, you know, more so maybe just some uneducated fish, not necessarily, you know, more numbers or anything. It was just kind of that first, you know, year class making it to its top end 20 year mark or whatever. And then all of a sudden they're, you know, people are still popping them at that range. Would you probably, I guess, speculate that?
Yeah, I would say that. Cause yeah. So 1989, they started stocking them again. And I know in them early 2000s, 2003, 2004 area, I mean, those fish are 15 years old, and those were the oldest fish there. So, yeah, it was definitely some of that.
Yeah, it's funny because it almost lines up too, like with the hey Nick, it kind of lines up like with the you know, Mille Lacs deal, where like you had like bulldogs starting to be introduced to the muskie industry like in the 90s, and then you had the double, obviously like the double 10 starting to come out in the early 2000s, and it seems like a lot of these heyday bites, they kind of ran in parallel, like all of a sudden all these big baits start getting made, and next thing you know, you're seeing all these, you know, massive fish being caught. It's kind of funny. It bums all of us out a little bit, because I don't think we'll ever probably live through one of those bites, you know. It's just, you know, unless we're all missing something right now, unless Nick's hammer crankbaits you know are the ticket to that. But yeah, I just, you know, it's crazy to think back on that and like, wow, what a time to be a musky fisherman, you know.
Yeah, we always joke we were born 10 years too late to get to capitalize on all those bites.
Yeah, but in the same sense, you know, it's like now we got to work a little harder, and that's okay. I mean, I guess a lot of people probably disagree that we have to work harder, but I think, you know, just in the sense of these educated fish, you know, maybe they're a little bit more understanding of what a double 10 looks like and what a Meg, you know, dog looks like and all that stuff. Sorry, Gus, I cut you off.
No, that's all right. I was just going to rope. Well, we got Nick here back on the line after some technical difficulties.
I'm back.
You're back. Let's go. I was gonna tie you in because your crankbait comes into play for the. Am I, if I'm not mistaken, last year you went down to troll in the bay and you brought your crankbaits for the first time and had potentially a giant almost hit the bag or something. I know you ran like one of your baits on one of the lines.
Yeah, we went with Kyle's good buddy Jamie. We went out with him
Nice.
and it was kind of a slow day, so he's like, just round every guy's want. So Clay threw out one of my crankbaits that I made for him. And it was on a wire rod, down rod, and it got drilled and grabbed the rod, felt a few head shakes, and it just popped.
Oh man. And I know you would have liked to see that one. It sounded pretty big.
Yeah.
So, well, now we have all five of us on here and
What's up,
I
Carl?
guess so,
How you doing? Not too bad.
and Kyle goes by Carl to some. It's
Yeah, you'll hear some of that at the show this weekend.
well, sweet. Do you know exactly where our booth is or where we're kind of located? Or the Huntytail booth?
Were you at the show last year?
Yep.
Okay, so where Titletown was last year, we're actually going to be right next to them. So it's kind of from where you entrance in that main spot, basically go all the way to the back to straight across.
Nice. Yeah, and yep, that's perfect. That's a good spot. Everybody should be able to find that hopefully right away or early on as they all come barging through the doors, because I'm figuring it's probably going to be like last year where they're lining up by the 100, 200 plus for door openers. I don't know if you remember that craze last year. I think I got there like 40 minutes. I think I got there an hour early and I thought I was too early, and I went to the gas station and got some stuff, and then I showed up and I'm like, oh geez, I was like 150th in line, and like, I should have just went right there.
Well, I
So,
remember there was a year they did when Lake X came out with the toads.
yeah.
Everybody early got a toad, and that was completely packed.
Yeah, there's always that one bait. I think this year should be a banger bucktail and a hammer custom.
Chain killer or
Chain killer. No, not kidding. Chain hammer.
chain hammer.
So how did you
Yeah.
guys get linked up?
Me
I
and
met
Nick.
him.
Yeah, you guys.
I met you through mutual friends
Yeah,
that
so
met
basically
you
the
at the Wausau show.
yeah. So basically the first year we Titletown had a booth at the Wausau show. Pete and Clay and Bricko were all there for the Muskie Hunter booth, I believe.
Yeah.
And we met those guys. We went and sang karaoke Saturday night, and kind
Nice.
of the whole group has been friends ever since.
That's how you get
Checks
to know
out.
some people is go sing some karaoke.
Yeah.
Who had the
It's
voice?
possible. It's possible we're gonna do it again this Saturday.
Highly possible.
Oh boy. I can't wait.
I have the
I'm
voice
sure you do, Nick.
a man of many talents.
Gonna get up there and rap.
Oh. I rap in the boat.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So, Kyle, how did you come up with the banger name? Where did the bangers come from?
So one of the guys in the boat, when we caught that first big one, that 53, he named him a banger. I don't know. It's just something that he said that day, and I'm like, that's perfect. Bangers. So that's who we go with.
So
Yeah,
do you
that's
have a few
funny
different
name.
sizes? Do you have
Yeah,
a few different sizes?
so I got like a 7'8", kind of single skirt, kind of a good early season up north bait, I guess. And then I got an 8'9", a 9'10", and then I even brought a few 10'12"s along in case anyone's looking for a big bait.
What do you typically like to run out on the bay?
So honestly, the 8'9"s have probably been one of the better ones, but I've caught on all of them. So, but yeah, the 8'9"s have been probably the most solid out there.
And any certain colors out on the bay that predominantly have worked well for you?
So there's one, it's like a black and gold mix,
Okay.
It's basically mostly black, little hint of gold in it, black and a gold blade. That one's probably been the best one, which also has the biggest fish on one as well. So,
what is the biggest fish?
53¾.
Nice. God, those are just some absolute beauties out there. Did you get some pretty crazy good eats on the figure eight with the bangers? Because I feel like that would make for some pretty hot figure eight fish.
Yeah, so the biggest one that I caught is basically a flat 50 on one. I was coming in, and this is probably one of my favorite colors. It's a purple and copper blades, so a lot of flash, real good for a sunny day. But I came in with the eight, and I went into the first turn, and I seen the fish like turn around and swim away, like he got spooked by the boat. But for some reason, I'm like, well, maybe he's just getting a better angle on it. So I like went into the eight like he was chasing it, like speed through the corner, hanging in the outside speed. And I think I went around like three times, and she caught me in one of the outside corners after that. Like, I didn't even know she was still there, but all of a sudden she came back and she hit it. So
it's a nice surprise.
It was very surprising, but I don't know. I just had a hunch to just rock it into the eight and just keep going.
Oh yeah. And Nick, you've ran the bangers now for at least a year or two, right?
Actually, I think Kyle gave us, when he first started making them, he gave us some.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, we've been running them for a while.
And you've caught some good fish up here. I know that for sure.
So yeah, we've caught them here, Canada.
Oh yeah, that's right. Canada too.
I think one of Clayton's videos coming out, it's gonna have some Canada bangers that him and Ryan caught.
Yeah, for those wondering what Nick's talking about, we've shared them on our stories. It's Thistledew Outdoor Adventures. Nick is out of the Zoom call. But anyways, Thistledew Outdoor Adventures on YouTube. Clayton Spies has been putting out some banger videos this winter on a lot of the 2023 season. And he hasn't even put out his Lake of the Woods trip yet. And they caught, I don't want to give anything away, but a lot of fish. So
yeah,
definitely subscribe to him. And Nick's back.
Kyle, do you film at all?
I used to. I haven't in the past, but I don't have any banger footage. I know Clayton's got some, but I gotta be a little bit better with it.
I know that those guys played the bangers a little close to the chest there for a bit. I know when Gus got his hands on one, I remember they were like, oh, shit, you're on to the secret now. Because, yeah, I mean, like Gus said, we got them pretty late in the season last year. But I remember the one that we have, like, great color for up in our neck of the woods and great size. And I was like, man, I cannot wait to run this thing next year. Because I didn't even get it. Maybe I fished it once, but I haven't gotten really much of a chance. I think the one time I did fish it, I was just like, damn, this is a really cool and unique design. I mean, I haven't seen any other bait on the market that has that style. So nobody, I don't think anyone's ripped you off quite yet.
No, there's some guys hanging Colorado blades from the back, but there's really no one hanging a willow with the pin as well. So
yeah, the pin is what makes, I think, it a very unique bait, and you can actually feel it when you're reeling it in, like that back blade ticking over and over again on the back. And what I like about it being on the back a little bit more is, you know, if a fish is following it, you almost feel like it's just that much closer to the fish's nose. You know what I mean? That, you know, might just be that difference to get him to go or not.
Sure.
So yeah, I don't know, just I guess a theory just from only running it once. But yeah, really looking forward to running it more. So hopefully we'll be able, next time you come on, we'll be able to share some of our own stories and catches with that bait. I'm
sure
definitely gonna snag one when I get to Wausau. So
oh, for sure. Awesome. I got a pretty wide variety. I did something a little different than most do, I think. Instead of having like show colors, I don't know, I really like to, so I tie all my own skirts too, but I like mixing up my own colors too. Like if I got a hank of a brown and orange and gold, I'll mix them all together and kind of make my own patterns. So I got about 360 made up and probably about 300 different patterns. So
that's really unique.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of one of a kinds there.
Don't you have a life to do something else?
Oh man, it's been a busy couple months getting ready for this.
was gonna say,
I
Nick,
hear
you're
you.
one to talk. You just said you haven't seen anybody in the last few months.
No, it was a month and a half because I had a wedding, and then I'm like, well, I get back from this wedding, I need to get 70 baits painted.
Oh my gosh.
Well, that's going to be a really fun booth with you two in it. Looking forward to that. I'm sure it'll be a popular stop for a lot of patrons there visiting the show. As have you guys done the booth together before? Well, I guess Nick, this is your first show, so no.
Yeah, this will be my first show.
This is my first show.
Oh, really?
First
So
timers.
debuting. Wow. Well, that's
Yeah.
It'll be first time I'm in like a booth as well with these boys, so.
Yeah, it's gonna be a pretty fun weekend. We got my buddy Jamie with us too, so we'll have
Oh,
a
Jamie. Okay, cool.
full booth all weekend.
Hell
I know
yeah.
Clayton will be around too.
There's gonna be a bunch of us floating around at that show. Hopefully we're hanging out at the booth a bunch and not walking around
Yeah.
too much. I don't think I will be. I think I'm just gonna grab some essentials and then just plop down and just start having a good time.
You gonna be our beer runner?
I'll run beers on Saturday while I'm there.
There we go. Brian
I'll be
nominated
the
himself.
advertiser.
We got the
Whole
Huntsie
house full of
Tail,
snails.
Hammer, Custom, Mott Crew, Pit Crew. Brian's part of it.
Collab. Nobody knew they needed.
Oh, we need you. No, I'm looking forward to it. It should just be a blast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know,
No
well,
doubt.
we lost you, Nick, for a little bit there, but there was like one other thing I wanted to ask you about your baits. I know on the chain hammer and jack hammer you don't have the weight screw inserts, but you have those on some of your other baits, right? So that people can kind of customize and play around with weighting too.
Yeah, so that was going back to the whole thing, like Jake's. I've always wanted a bait that either sometimes you can have it floating, like really buoyant, kind of like the man's bait, how buoyant that is. But then I've always wanted it. Then at the same token, you're like, well, I kind of want to add some weight to it. So I was like, I'm gonna make a Jake bait that has weight in it. So that's kind of what I did with those. And then the other one, it's the Dive in Her Eyes. There's a little insert weight too that you can put whatever you want in.
Yeah, that's money. I think that's I wish there's a lot of baits out there in the market that had that. So that's cool that you're doing that right out of the rip for
Yeah,
some.
and it's those two I wanted to do that. Then my glide bait is just like a glide bait with no insert in it.
Right.
How deep does that glide bait run, you think, Nick?
I would say, depending on how fast you obviously work it, but if you're working at a moderate pace, I'm gonna guess it's probably gonna run about 4 feet down. And that one's called the fill.
The fill. The
How'd that
fill.
come about? Phil
Kyle's
Sedola,
buddy, Phil hates glide baits, so I'm like, I'm naming it the fill.
What's your Dive and Rise bait name? I don't think we got there yet.
That is the hammer jerk.
Oh, that's seems sensible. It's probably better the hammer jerk than the jerk hammer.
I was
Well,
gonna
that
say
was another
that.
option, but I like the initials for hammer jerk better.
Oh, sure. No matter how you play it, it all ends up at the same place.
Well, that was all a coincidence that I named the bait set, and then I decided to call the bait company this. Because everybody likes to call me Hammer, so it all kind of worked out.
Right. That's just because your prowess on the water. It's just an intimidating figure out there. So I gotta ask this. So we'll steer away a little bit from bait talk for a second, and do some more fishing stories here. But I guess we'll just lead it off. Heading into this new year, Nick, I kind of know some of your trips coming up, but Kyle, are you just going to be mostly sticking to the bay this year, or you got anything else in the hopper that you're looking forward to?
I think I'm gonna try and get out to Minnesota again. We didn't get out there last year, but I kind of love taking a trip out there, whether it be western or northern Minnesota. But we're gonna get out there at some point. We always do a summer outing. Like I said, that one year we were in Three Lakes. We're going back to Holcomb Flowage area this year. So other than that, I guess I just seen the Spring Classic come out. We normally fish that tournament too, so we'll probably be up there for that, but
Okay. Is that the one tournament you guys typically do in the Northwoods?
Pretty much. We used to do the spring and the fall, and then now we kind of just been doing the spring. So.
Sure. Gotcha. And when you go to Minnesota, you said you're kind of still TBD on whereabouts, but sounds like you've had some past experiences there. Have you done the Vermilion thing? Have you done the Mille Lacs thing? Have you done some of those other, Western Minnesota, you said?
Vermilion, we went there in 2020. I thought it was awesome. I
Oh,
guess
yeah.
if I could go there every year, I mean, just the different styles of how you can fish. I mean, you could fish open water and throw at a buoy when the boat's in 35 feet of water, or you can stay really thin on shallow rocks. Like, I don't know. I just thought every part of it was awesome.
Don't
But
get
I've
me
been out to
started,
like,
man. I'd love to go back, man.
But I've been out to Pelican and DL out there too, which is pretty cool as well.
Gotcha. Very cool. Nick, what about you? What do you got looking forward to this upcoming year?
Monday night league, Tuesday night league.
It's hammer
That's whatever
time.
the and then the PMTT stuff. I don't think I'll really venture too far away.
Gotcha. I haven't
I mean,
gotten your thoughts yet on what you think about the schedule for this year's BMTT.
I like it. I think it could be a really, well, depending on making it to the championship, of course. I think it could be a really fun championship. But
What month
I'm
is
happy.
that? Because championships on Eagle River, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Looked like the last weekend of September, I want to say.
Okay.
So
So
it's gonna
yeah,
be
it
a
shapes up to be pretty good.
good pre turnover bite with a nice little thin bloom layer on the lakes. Should be
Yeah, licking our chops.
prime bucktail, that's for sure.
Just got to get there first. What are your thoughts on Tonka, Nick?
Never fished it, but that's kind of like the whole reason why the PMTT is fun. It's you to go try different stuff.
Sure.
I
Kyle,
mean,
have you ever?
there's.
Oh, sorry, Nick, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I've been to Cass Lake in Minnesota, which was cool. Leech was cool, but we were just off. We didn't catch anything there.
Seems like a tough leg.
But obviously, Vermilion was awesome.
Yeah. Kyle, have you thought about doing the PMTT ever?
Yeah, me and a buddy have been talking about it for a couple of years. We just haven't pulled the trigger yet. One of these years we'll do it. Vacations will line up and everything else, or get a schedule where something really, really interests us. But one of these years we'll get over there and do it. Do the whole series.
Sure. What type of schedule, like, I guess, would really get you fired up to take the days off and go do? Is there any lakes that you got on your radar that if they go there, you're like, all right, we got to go try that out?
I mean, Vermilion would be one of them. I know they have been there, but get that and maybe another good one in there. So definitely something like that I would go back. So
I wanted to ask you more about the bay. Obviously you've heard us three, we're very inexperienced on the bay. And from what I hear, it sounds like majority of people are hucking bucktails for most of your casting season. Obviously that's why you made your bucktails to crush them out there. But if you are going to switch it up, I mean, like, what's another legitimate bait to throw out there? Do you throw glides, rubber, cranks, anything else?
So my next favorite is probably a Medusa, a reg Dusa. Guys throw, I mean, Dusas are mag dogs, but there's kind of a time and a place for rubber out there. But as far as guys throwing cranks or throwing glides or even topwaters, not a lot of people do it. I don't think it's a bad thing to go throw something different. It's just
Those fish want speed out there generally.
Yeah, we're reeling bucktails in pretty fast, and even when I throw deuces, I'm pretty erratic ripping them. So normally they do want everything fast.
I'm kind of interested because, like, from what I've, and again, we're inexperienced here at the Bay, but like, from what I've heard, not a lot of people throw super huge baits out there, which is kind of funny with how, big the fish are. You hear like Vermilion and Mille Lacs and all these other places with huge fish, like, people aren't not scared to throw, like pounders at minimum. You see guys like Ronestrand throwing the pound and a half, 2 pounders, the Meg swimming dogs, which are just insanely ginormous. We picked up one of those last year, and the thing looks like it should be hanging on a wall, not on the end of your rod. But have you seen much people out on the bay throwing, you know, pounders, you know, monster medusas, husky deuces, stuff like that?
Not really. So the casting bite, reg deuces, mag dogs, obviously double 10 kind of size bucktails or nines as well. And then it's really funny now when we switch to trolling, when they're chasing the shad, obviously you've heard we troll shad wraps out there, but we've played around with some bigger baits with not a lot of success. Baits, trolling baits in that probably 6 to 8 inch range is basically the best.
That's crazy. Is it just like, you think it's just a forage based thing?
I think so. I mean, we're trolling. I mean, super shad wraps are a shad looking bait and just a perch or a fire tiger color. So,
crazy.
That's wild. Because aren't there some giant perch on the bay? Like, aren't they?
There is. 10, 12 there are. Months? And I mean, yeah, every year we go find another crankbait out there that we think is going to be the new super shad wrap. And, we've had some success with some oddballs out there, but, nothing as consistent as the Rapala.
Well, if you think about it, Gus, I mean, a regular size Medusa would be like a world-class perch. You know?
Yeah, I know.
That's actually a very valid point.
That's true. A husky deuce is kind of beyond that range, and even a mag dog with the tail out is probably pushing it, but at least the profile, I guess that makes sense. But the minnow baits, it's just weird that it cuts back even more. Like, you'd think like a 10 to 12 inch for a 10 to 12 inch perch would be the ticket, but that's just so bizarre.
Yeah.
And those shad wraps don't, I have one and I've kind of maybe tossed it in the water a bit, but it doesn't do a whole lot. It maybe wanders a little bit, but they're so stupid, which is why they call them the stupid shad wraps.
We kind of joke the less a bait does, the better it'll work on the bait.
You ever troll a souk in the prop wash?
Bobby baits.
No kidding.
I can get down with that.
Yeah. Wow,
I thought he was crazy when he showed us that.
You've caught some doing that?
I have not caught on them, but I feel like it
they look good.
It sounds cool when you say it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good funny stuff. Well, Gus, Brian, any other questions you guys got? Otherwise, we'll kind of just ride off into the sunset here. It's getting a little late. What do you guys think?
I think I'm all good. Looking forward to this weekend.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, this is my, like I was saying in other podcasts, the Milwaukee, that was the first time at Milwaukee, first time at Minnesota, but I've always gone to the Wausau for many years. And I think it's, you know, before I even go in this year, I just have a feeling it's going to be the best one for sure. It always gets a good crowd.
I guess I'll leave you guys with this. Is there any baits, even though you guys will be working the booth, any baits that you guys got your eyes on to pick up here at the show this year?
I forgot what it's called already, but Bam Bam baits.
Yeah. Bullfins.
Yeah, I think try one of those. And then get another SRJ because mine are pretty beat up.
For good reason.
That there's going to be a guy there. I think Tom Stinson is his name. He makes a glide bait. I got my hands on one last fall, and it I'm like a phantom guy for glides, and this thing runs really, really well. So I'm probably going to pick up one or two of those as well.
Nice. Gus, were you talking about those ones?
Is it the Tom Super Glide, or is that a different guy?
Or is that the guy that was talking about it with one of your guys' previous podcast?
And Michael Hansen brought it up.
I think the Super Glide is what it is.
Okay.
Yeah,
I've been hearing about that.
I feel stupid for not grabbing one. I'm pretty sure I like talked to that guy like a year or two ago and like held one, and I'm like, I'm not a glide bait guy, and I just passed on it. Shoot.
Well, sweet. Well, we can't thank you guys enough for hopping on, even though we had a little bit of technical difficulties. You know, and we have you guys on next time, maybe hopefully it'll be a little smoother, but nonetheless, it was a great, great conversation. And, you know, I think you guys are going to do really well this weekend. So everyone that's listening to this, make sure to go check them out. What's I guess what's the booth called? I mean, is there a name, or are you guys just gonna have both your banners there hanging separately? It's gonna be a lot of baits.
Fuck no.
Okay. All right. So there'll be a Huntsie Tail banner then.
All right. Well, if you want any of the hammers baits, make sure to find the Huntsie Tail and pick up a banger or two while you're at it. Sounds like there's a lot of cool selections there. You guys are gonna have the full gamut. There's gonna be a lot of baits sitting there for people to check out. So that's gonna be awesome.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah, me as well. I couldn't be more excited.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks. Well, thanks for coming on, guys. Really appreciate your time tonight. I know it's late and we had some difficulties, but thanks for coming on.
Awesome. Thanks for having us.
Cool. Thanks, guys. We'll see you on Saturday.
Sounds good.
All right, guys. We just had a fantastic interview there. Maybe it was cut in bits and pieces based on people's Wi-Fi and laptop chargers and whatnot. So hopefully that interview came through okay. Sorry if there was some cutoffs in there, a little bit of technical difficulties, but we can't thank Kyle Huntsader and Nick Amrose enough for coming on the podcast here. And especially this time, you know, because they took away from their extra busy schedule of work and building baits the week leading up to the show to come in, to come on the podcast and chat about it. So hats off to them for taking a little bit of time off for that and chatting baits and muskies. So with that being said, let's do a little round table talk here on, you know, maybe a takeaway you guys had from the bait building side, or if it's one of the stories they had or the Green Bay stuff, you know, what was your favorite part of it?
Yeah, I would say, you know, from Nick's side, just seeing how hard he's been working on his baits, you know, giving us some periodic updates on his end on building them, painting them, all that stuff. I mean, I'm not trying to oversell it. I mean, his paint jobs are seriously like amazing. I'm shocked he's only been building baits for as long as he has. They're really, really good. So I'm excited to see the full array of them in person. I mean, obviously we have that one, but you know, haven't seen like full gamut of what he has to offer yet. So excited to see that. You know, Kyle, first time meeting him, really, really cool dude. I thought his bucktail, you know, kind of invention, if you will, was genius. Like I said, I mean, having the ticker on the back, I think just adds a whole kind of cool new twist. You know, Brian, I know you're a big fan of all the bait mods and stuff like that. That was like a really, you know, just unique, interesting way to, you know, modify a bucktail. I think we're all trying to find a way to differentiate ourselves a little bit in the bucktail game. So he's found a way to truly do that. And just kind of cool hearing how that all got started. So that'd probably be my takeaways. Brian, what about you?
Yeah, I was going to say similar things there. I've seen the one of Nick's crankbaits that Gus has had for a little while. Really, really nice paint job, like Max said. So I'm curious to see where else his artistic abilities have brought him. I'm excited to see Kyle's bucktail as well, the banger. And that's my favorite part about the Muskie Show, is just being able to go through all these small batch bait makers and end up getting swindled into buying more baits than I should. So I'm expecting that to happen. But yeah, Gus, I think you'll have your work cut out for you this week, editing this one up, thanks to technology and Wi-Fi and microphone problems and whatever else we encountered there.
Yeah, recording in the North Woods is not always an easy task, and having five people on it total in a Zoom call. So quick, yeah, Hats off to the old Muskie Hunks for doing some of their 5 to 7 person interviews, which is just insane. Like getting everybody lined up with timing and Wi-Fi and technical issues and whatnot. That is pretty incredible. But No, I'm really looking forward to the the show coming up. But for the interview side, you know, like Max said with Nick Bates, I think he's just come a long way in such a short time, and he's a very, you know, he's just quiet about it. You know, the dude catches a ton of fish, a ton of really big fish here in the North Woods, and he's one of those guys that just doesn't really post about it. You know, he's very humble. He doesn't advertise his baits at all. He had them in a couple local shops. The first one that he gave to me, actually has a musky tooth in it. The first fish to hit it, I lost. It was while trolling on the Eagle River chain, and I super glued it in because I didn't want to take that tooth out. I kind of want to have it in there as like memorabilia of the first ever Hammer Custom jackhammer made by Nick. It's a 2022 model, so I'm going to hold on to that one dearly. He made me a personalized one just late last year, a chain hammer, the small one, but I didn't get it until late, and I was catching fish trolling on a lot larger baits last fall, so I'm excited to try it this year. I can't say enough good things about Nick's paint jobs. He's got a couple, you know, things that he's got up his sleeve that he's really never done and is bringing to the show to kind of show off and showcase. So everyone's got to give him a warm welcome, as well as Kyle Hunsader with his Huntsie Tails bangers, because those are also another, you know, kind of a hush hush quiet bait that hasn't had like a ton of you know, stuff floating around the internet. And they're going to be, and that's just the beauty of the Wausau show. It's just kind of showcasing these smaller bait builders, these one-man armies. And, you know, I just think it's truly impressive, you know, especially when Kyle is saying like some of the caliber fish that they're putting in the boat. I know bucktails are pretty much king out there on the bay, but if you can tie into some 53 pluses on a bait, then you're like, okay, this is actually something. This is a quote unquote banger. He's got himself a banger. And yeah, excited to pick up a different size, because I think the one that we have is 7.8, the smaller one. But yeah, I'm just stoked to go to the show. These shows have been just awesome. I know we kind of touched on the Minnesota show, but we forgot to mention it was great to see Greg Thomas there as well. Always fun chatting with him. You know, can't always see him all the time. We're going to run into him a bunch this year on the PMTT, but you know, he's a man always on the move with Canada, Minnesota, Kentucky. Great to see the Beavers Baits booth. I just had to. I did pick up some deer hair beavers, and I already put them in the water here. There's some open water spots where I've been kind of testing new baits. You know, it's kind of nice, instead of just looking at them, I can actually put them in the water and see what they do. And those look outstanding. Some of the show colors of, well, I guess, should we just get into the bait cop of Minnesota? Let's hear it.
What's the haul?
Ah, shoot. I had it all lined up last night, and it's all over the place now, because I ran them, and now they're all like hanging up to dry. But I said the beavers, two barn burners from Musky Addicts, got another IC7, another drop tying growler. Excited to run those spinners. We picked up a bobby bait, because we just don't, I think we have one, so we figured to just get a little small one to kind of hop around some weeds and really, really shallow cover. We got an unweighted one. I got one of the new 10-inch wood Suix, the customized weighting kit in it. I mean, it's hard to pass on favorite size wood Suix, where you can also change out the weights. And as you saw, Max, I was looking at all the pretty colors, and I picked none other than the OG.
No. I was just going to ask what color.
I got that same color in like every size of like all models.
I think you get the same color each year. You get a new one.
I wasn't thrilled about it either, Brian.
Dude, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, dog. I mean, I'm going to throw it with confidence. You guys don't have to throw it. It's my bait.
You ain't going to have to worry about that.
That's fine. I don't need y'all throwing it.
I love me some Suix, but man.
Yeah.
I think What am I missing? Okay, there's
The BNNs.
it doesn't end. The BNNs, yep. The 9.5-inch like Mag claws, they call it, or something. I got the
Those are
metal
gonna be
lips from
awesome.
BNN. I ran those, and that, like, so we roll with some grandmas and Jakes, and those BNNs have more of the wobble of a Jake, like a wider, because the grandmas are tighter wiggle, but then it's they also don't have the rattle, so it's almost like a silent Jake. So it should be pretty money casting and trolling. They rise up pretty quick, so I think we can just do the little dumbbell swivel trick on the hooks, you know, come later season to keep them down longer. We got a Mojo and a Big Joe from Muskie Innovations. We want to try those things. We haven't really – we had an old Big Joe, and it just didn't run right. I don't know how old it is, but too old, that's for sure. It's – the rubber doesn't seem right anymore, but we're pumped about those.
Dying
yeah.
dog.
Dying dog and another swimming dog. Got some staples.
Yep. Got
couple
those
new
and
things.
Some new show colors.
Yes, had to get some show colors. A couple that I wasn't going to pass up.
Yeah, we got the swimming dog and the dying dog in the same color, Brian. You're going to freak. It's pretty sweet. Sweet color combination. It's got like an orange belly, silver flash side with like a darker shade top. I'm not exactly sure if it's black or what, but
the dye dog's got like a black gold kind of finish, and then the swimming dog's the same orange with like the silver gold sides, and then the top is like a color shift blue green.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool. It's pretty sweet.
I wish they made a dying dog a little bit bigger.
Really?
Like a monster dog.
I feel like the dying dog would be nasty if they had a small. I mean, well, it's already a nasty bait, but I feel like if anything, I'd want one in a smaller size for like June or like early season.
Yeah, that's true.
Like a skinnier tail. Like it's not as wide. Like they shrink it a little bit and it's not as wide, maybe.
Yeah, just the whole bait. Like a mini, just a, like if you think of like a Medusa, a husky size compared to like just a medium size or like a mid Medusa size dying dog. I think Greg talked to us about that a lot of people did ask him for a smaller size, but it was something
it
with
didn't
production
prototype it.
And yeah, it was something where it didn't really work out or make sense. So I think they've already explored that, but I mean the dying dog in itself, we've talked about you know, don't be afraid to throw big baits. So yeah, I mean, I'm going to be throwing that thing from, you know, probably the Southern opener up to ice up. So I mean, I fell in love with those dying dogs last year.
Yeah,
I love the way they look.
I think they're pretty damn versatile, and they push a lot of water. I mean, if you give that thing a pull and it's close to the surface, it's like a whole boil from like a hot follow on a muskie. Like you see the whole water swishing around. It's legit. It's got movement. And you got the dumb old Suic and a dumb old pattern that also is going to catch fish. So
yep. And I'm sure people are wondering, Brian, what do you got your eye on at the Wausau show? It's going to be dangerous, man. You better bring some cash and put a limit on yourself because it might get out of hand. I was like, when I went to the Minnesota show, I was like, oh, I just want to meet some people, want to hang out. And next thing I know, I bought, you know, six baits. It's
yeah.
Just crazy how that happens.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm coming in with an open mind, going to approach every booth like I've never seen them before. You know, I'm going to be looking for some flashy stuff. But I'm going to need like a full second rundown on what you guys have already bought, each size of each of the baits I've already bought, just to make sure I'm not getting any duplicates. And then, yeah, we'll see. I would like to get either a crank or a glide for like opener early season. And then, maybe like a little,
his dive rises are
Hammerjacker.
Hammer jerk.
It's not like a giant. We didn't go over the size. Well, it sounds like Nick didn't really take measurements of all his baits, but his dive and rise isn't like a 10 inch Suic. It's like a Navin size, like an 8 inch Navin size, I want to say. Maybe with the little adjustable metal tail in the back, it might be 9 or so. It's a good solid like perch size bait.
And so, Gus, you'll be in the booth with some muskies on tap gear as well, I assume.
Yeah, Kyle sent me a video. He did a mock, like a mock-up of the booth he set up before he like tore it down. And you'll walk in, you know, the booth will have all his bucktails in the middle and the left, because he's got, like he said, I already forgot, 360 or something like that, 350. And so that video he sent me is damn impressive. He's got a lot of bucktails. And then on the right side will be the Hammer Customs, Nick's baits on the right wall. And then there's lights shining down on that. And then all along the top, we'll just plant some muskies on tap hats all along the top to see. So it's not like a giant booth, but we're going to have it packed in pretty good.
Sweet.
Right on. Yeah. And also, I just want to say shout out to all the people that came up and chatted with us at the Minnesota show that listened to the podcast. That was awesome. You know, met some beauties from over in the Chippewa Flowage area that,
Yep.
you know, are giving us a hard time about our Chippewa Flowage experience. So they were awesome. You know, Gus, I know you met a lot of people. It was just fun to talk to. I'm probably forgetting some folks, but yeah, it's just awesome to chat with people that listen to the podcast or whatever. And it was just cool to see it in person because that's really the first, you know, ish time I've got to experience that. So yeah, it was just really,
Yeah.
it was pretty sweet.
Yeah, super fun. It was cool meeting a bunch of Minnesota people, because we're Wisconsin natives, and we've only just, like we said before, messaged with the Minnesota folk, and it was just really nice meeting them from the metro, a couple Western Minnesota, and then a whole pile of people from like the Bemidji area. I feel like it was really common for me to ask, like, oh, where are you from, or where are you coming from? And it's always like Bemidji, Cass area, kind of. So
Yeah. Oh,
that
yeah.
was.
Also, shout out Jaime from
Oh,
the
Spaniard
Metro
Muskie.
Muskie. Yeah, Spaniard Muskie and
But the mess, yeah.
the what's their?
Metro Muskie Maniacs
Yeah,
on
Metro
Instagram.
Muskie Maniacs. Yep. Yeah, so hopefully I'll be able to link up with some of those guys and fish with some of them. Seems like they're on some awesome fish here, right here locally in the cities. So good to make some connections here. And yeah, it was just a lot of fun. Good show overall.
Yeah, and I'm gonna, before we sign off here, I don't wanna drag this on too much longer, but I would like to say, for those of the loyal listeners and going to the Wisconsin Muskie Expo this weekend, March 15th to the 17th in Wausau or Rothschild, Wisconsin, at the Central Wisconsin Musk or Central Wisconsin Convention Center or something, the first person to walk in and approach me and say, hey, love the show, love listening to Muskies on Tap, gets a free hat. First one gets a free hat.
That's gonna be me. That's
Whoa.
gonna be me. Good luck beating me there.
You heard it first. You're gonna have to tackle Brian to get there. Brian, hey, you count, Brian. If you're there
Gonna be in a
first, you can.
three-point stance.
Yep.
Wow. That's awesome. Well, that'll be
Yeah.
sweet. And then also, I mean, I don't know, we'll probably put up a poll here shortly about potentially a March Madness bracket, but might have some cool giveaways if we end up doing that. Probably would need to do like a minimum amount of people to join to make it worth it. I don't know how many college basketball fans we got out there that are listeners, but if we throw up a poll and we get enough good responses, we might have something cool in store for you guys there. So just keep an eye out on our Instagram for something of that nature.
Sweet. I think that just about covers it, other than follow us at Muskies on Tap on Instagram, Sucks Fishing on Instagram, Sucks Fishing Guide Service on Facebook. That's where you can find all the goodies on my guide service, plus all the Muskies on Tap stuff, or at www.suggsfishing.com. Get a hold of us. We'd love to hear from you. I'd love to take you guys fishing this summer, spring, summer, fall. So really looking forward to the season, getting pumped. So, without further ado, Brian, you're here with us on this late night. Take us away. We missed you last week. We just went right into the boring outro.
All right, everybody. Thank you once again for listening to this episode of Muskies on Tap. Shout out to Nick and Kyle for coming on tonight. Even when their Wi-Fi didn't want to cooperate, they powered through, put on quite a performance. You're going to see them perform even better on Friday and Saturday and Sunday at the Wausau Muskie Show. Make sure to show up and bring your wallets. And shout out to all the loyal Minnesota listeners. How you feeling today? Kirk Cousins gone. Welcome, JJ McCarthy. And a dark 10 years ahead for the Minnesota Vikings. Nothing new for you guys, though. Peace.
Preach.
Preach.